all disappeared from sight when Igor came down. He had spruced himself up. Under his raincoat, he wore a blue blazer and a white shirt open at the neck. He changed from boots to polished black leather slip-on shoes. He was handsome, as tall as Harry, with a head of thick blonde hair and blue eyes. High cheekbones were the only Slavic hint in his face. Otherwise, he looked more like a local insurance salesman than the first officer in a Bulgarian freighter.
"Evening, Igor," Harry said.
The foreigner grinned broadly and handed over what seemed to be a sheaf of newspapers with his passport lying on top. Harry looked at him questioningly.
"Thought you might be interested," said Igor as Harry handed back his passport. "By the way, I might not be back tonight, but don't worry. The skipper's okay with it. He'll pick me up at the next port."
And Igor winked as he sauntered off, leaving Harry speechless, clutching the newspapers. Looking at his list, Harry saw that no one else was expected. He stood there for a minute, wondering what to do. Should he report Igor straight away? But what if he did come back tonight? He'd only said he might not. If he did come back with the others after all, then Harry would look stupid and would have caused a big stink for nothing. Perhaps Igor was joking, pulling Harry's leg. Well, he thought, I'll know for sure when they come back at midnight. If he's not with them, I'll do something then. And tucking the newspapers into the side pocket of his waterproof, he retreated to the all-night cafe on the dockside, from where he could keep an eye on the Bogdana while staying dry and warm. Ordering coffee and toast at the counter, Harry looked around to see if there was anyone he knew, someone he could while away the time with until the Bulgarians came back to the ship. There wasn't. The place was almost empty. Just a couple of harbour workers in the corner, talking about the football, and a table of seamen, Portuguese, he guessed, though they could have been anything, as he couldn't understand a word of what they were saying. The exchange with Igor had left him feeling uneasy. He pulled the folded newspapers out of his pocket to see what they were and why Igor had given them to him. It was then he realised that what he had was not a sheaf of newspapers at all. It was one thick newspaper folded round a stiff white envelope. A cold wave of shock washed over him as he hastily covered the envelope up, looking round quickly to see if anyone was watching. But no one at the other tables was taking the slightest bit of notice. Easing the envelope out from the folds of the newspaper, he opened it and withdrew the contents. His hand held a wad of banknotes, 20s and 50s. He was breathing heavily now, gasping almost. He had never seen a 50-pound note before, and for a moment he wondered if they were real. He riffled quickly through the notes, mentally calculating as he went. There were at least 60 or 70 of them, though he wasn't going to count them out on the table like a cashier in a bank. He returned the notes to the envelope before shoving it back into the pocket of his coat. There must be at least 3 grand in that envelope. Jesus, what was he to do? He felt his pulse racing, and quite improbably, he had to wipe a drop of sweat from one cheek, even though it was anything but hot in this half-empty cafe. He knew he should report it straight away. If you wanted a classic example of a bribe, this was a humdinger. And for a moment, he resolved to do just that after his shift ended. But then he remembered the earlier gifts. His son's Bulgarian flag was innocuous enough, but what about the little red stones? Were they really rubies? Probably, he thought with a sickening lurch in his stomach, understanding suddenly that he had been set up. If he turned Igor in, he knew what Igor could say about him. His toast was cold by now, as well as his coffee, and he felt too agitated to stay sitting there. He stood up and, for a crazed half-second, was tempted to leave one of the 50-pound notes as a tip, or indeed all the contents of the envelope. But that would be madness. He left 50 pence instead and strode out of the cafe. He walked round the harbour, past the big ferry scheduled to leave at the crack of dawn for the Isle of Man, busy now with men loading cargo and refueling the enormous underdeck fuel tanks.